For example, I went to my first ever international competition, Dresden, Germany. I went in, I made the final, and I came like last in the final. And I was devastated. I was so upset. And I remember looking at the guys who won, and I just thought, I can't imagine what it would be like to be them. Like, that's got to be impossible. And I can't call myself. And I was like, no, like, if they can do it, like, I can do it. And it was a mental battle to be like, you know what? I'm going to get there. I went back to training 2 years later. I learned one of the hardest dives in the world. I came back and I won that event by over 50 points. First Australian to ever win that event. And I remember just thinking, like, I believed what I've just done was impossible. And I did it.
In 1837, Horace Mann created the education system, a system at the time designed to pump out factory workers and professors, the same system that is still being used today in the 21st century. Now, Mann's system is backfiring. We are being molded by the same industrial system that has existed for close to 200 years. That system delivers us into a digital economy that has no need of our outdated skills. This isn't our teachers' fault. This isn't the government's fault. This is due to a rapidly changing world full of technology and unforeseen circumstances. And us Gen Zs are caught in the middle. Welcome to the Driven Young Podcast, the podcast for stressed, overwhelmed young Australians, teaching you practical life skills you can implement now to set yourself up in life. And now your host, Byron Dempsey.
Welcome back to the Driven Young Podcast, and this is a very special episode because it's episode 100 of this show. I never knew if this podcast would last when I started it, especially because each episode is filmed in person and takes hours and hours every single week. But here we are, 2 years and 100 episodes later. So thank you so much to anyone who's ever listened, supported the show, and thank you to anyone who's ever reached out to me and DM'd me. You guys mean the world to me, seriously. This episode, I'm joined by an absolute legend, Sam Fricker. Sam is a 19-year-old Olympic diver who competed in the 2020 Olympic Games and has built a following of over 1.2 million followers on TikTok. He very much lives and breathes the ethos of this show, and I'm very proud to have him on as my 100th guest. In this episode, we talk about how Sam became an athlete, how he got into diving, his journey making content since he was a kid, and how that helped him grow his brand. What does he do day to day, how he sets and achieves his goals, what it was like at the 2020 Olympic Games, and so much more. As per usual, please DM me if you enjoy the show, and why not DM Sam? I'm sure he would love to see your messages if you enjoyed him during this episode. Please consider leaving a rating on Spotify, that would help me out a lot, and all the links for everything you need are in the show notes below. Now, over to Sam.
Sam, welcome so much to the podcast.
Fine, thanks for having me.
Just had breakfast, had a great chat. It's always cool to meet other young creators who are doing cool stuff. You know, we're going to talk about your life. You're obviously your Olympic diver and content creator. You've got a lot going on. Before we get into that, I'd love to just know, I usually ask people what they did after high school, but how old are you right now?
19.
So you've only finished high school like what, 2 years ago?
Last year.
So it's
2020 I graduated.
Yeah, okay. So maybe let's talk about what was the journey of, I guess, becoming an Olympian like for you? How'd you get into that and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so when I was a kid, I always had a dream of making the Olympic Games. Yep. And as long as I can remember, I was doing gymnastics and trampolining, and I just wanted to make the Olympics. And I didn't know how I was going to get there. A girl I liked was doing diving, which actually steered me to the sport. And eventually I fell in love with it, and it really spiraled from there. I remember I told, and this is a beautiful story, I told one of the Olympic coaches out at Sydney Olympic Park. Now, I was training in Newcastle at the time. No one knew who I was. I was certainly no professional.
Yeah.
And I told that Olympic coach that I was going to make the Olympics. And he kind of took notice of that and started coaching me a little bit from there. And eventually I moved to Sydney and found my way into N-Swiss. I went to Trinity. And my life just changed from just some kid mucking around to head down training for a dream that could become possible. So I then dedicated the next, 6 years to just do everything within my power to make it happen. And I saw Tokyo was a bit of a pipe dream, but the closer we got, the more things fell my way and the more realistic it became. And what was super special was when I finished my last dive at Olympic trials and I made the Olympic team, that coach that I told I was going to make it was standing basically in the same spot when I was, 10 years ago when I told him. And we shared a special moment just being like, we dreamed it and I did it.
Yeah. And so why diving? Like, what was the attraction of diving for you?
So I was doing gymnastics and tramp, and it's all aerial sports. But a girl got me into diving. That's why I started.
Really?
Yeah.
What was that?
What was it?
Yeah, like how did they get you in? They usually tried it once and when.
Yeah, so she was there, so I'd go. It was up in Newcastle, so it was cold, it was windy. It was kind of miserable. But she was there, so I'd go, and it kind of sucked. I didn't really enjoy it.
Yeah.
But eventually I started to do like better dives, and the better you get at something, the more you enjoy it. And
that's the thing, isn't it?
Certainly. And things are hard at first, but everything is hard at first. Mm. And I just put in the work, and eventually I fell in love with it, and it spiraled from there.
There's this concept, and it's like the first – everything you do, the first 20 hours is going to be – like most people can't make it through the first 20 hours.
Yeah.
If you can make it through the first 20 hours, that's when it starts to become almost enjoyable, depending on, you know, whatever it is. But it's like most people give up after a few hours. They'll do a few dives and go, oh, I'm not good at this. It's like, well, you haven't really tried yet.
Yeah, and I was like – I didn't jump in the pool and become a professional. I was pretty bad. I just put in a lot of work, and the gymnastics and trampoline helped a lot. But, yeah, there was a lot of – low rough days, but just enjoying the process and getting through it.
And that's definitely going to be something we'll talk about, enjoying the process, because I think that's such an important thing.
And it can be hard times too. Like it's so easy said, but when that alarm clock goes off at 5 a.m. for like the 10th week in a row and you're tired and you just need to get out and go, like that's not easy.
Mm.
But for us, it's not a choice. Mm. It's just what you do.
Yeah. And do you think a big part of – you know, being able to wake up and do that is having a coach and having like that discipline and having someone there coaching you.
And I didn't realize how important that was until COVID hit.
Mm.
So 2020, we went into our lockdown, the Olympics got postponed and I was at home and I struggled to train at home. We had these Zoom programs and what we'd do is we'd all go on the Zoom call as a team and do like these team workouts and I hated it.
Yeah.
My coach knew I hated it.
Yeah.
And we still joke about it to this day, but he would always call me up, make sure I go on those calls and did them. But I really did not enjoy that.
Mm.
It was brutal.
Mm.
And that's when I realized how important it is to have someone, for me personally, that, you know, I'm held accountable to. And when it comes to like my business and other things like that, I hold myself accountable. But I found with training, it's so good to have my coach there who in that morning when I wake up and I'm tired and I've got to get out of bed, it's not a choice because he's there waiting for me.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm not there, there's a problem.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's, you know, that's accountability as well.
Yeah. But I enjoy that accountability.
Oh, it's so important.
Yeah.
Like I think accountability is so important. That's why it's so hard to do it on your own. And there's this almost this mantra.
You don't have to.
Especially for like men, the traditional like, the you know, the men in the movies, they achieve success by being emotionless and doing it on their own. But it's like, no. It's just not realistic and it's not practical. It's like, it's so much easier to do it together. There's that quote, it's like a rising tide lifts all boats. By doing it together, you're all going to benefit as opposed to just doing it on your own.
Yeah, certainly. And nothing major that I have achieved, I have done alone.
Mm.
There has been a team of support networks behind every single thing that I've done.
Mm. And because it's interesting, because I guess you could say diving is a solo sport, but then it's also a team sport.
Yeah. Like in the, although I'm up there doing the dive myself, it was the team that got me there.
Mm. Nah, that's awesome. And so you got into diving, what, about 10 years old?
I started when I was about 12 or 13.
Yeah.
But I did gymnastics and tramp. Like I did kindy gym as a kid. I remember I broke my nose really bad once. I like kneed myself in the head, had to get an operation. So I ended up from like kindy gym. So I was always pretty into just sending it.
Mm. And because something that's always interesting is, I mean, I guess you'd know, like Olympians typically don't get paid that well. You know, is a low chance you'll even make it to the Olympics and make good money. Like there's so, everything's against you. When you were younger, was that in the back of your mind? Like, is this a practical thing? You know, oh, come on, Sam, this isn't practical. I'm not going to make money doing this. No. My career will be over by the time I'm 25, whatever
care.
It is.
I didn't care. I didn't know how I was going to get there.
Yeah.
I had no idea, but I knew I was going.
Mm.
And I think that's the same with like law of attraction and having a vision and knowing where you want to go. You don't need to know how you're going to get there. You just need to know where you want to go. And then take daily steps towards that goal. And I was chatting to someone the other night about this. And it's like, you may not know the next 10 steps, but you just need to set goals in the right direction.
Mm.
And that will get you there eventually.
100%. Like that's what we were talking about you before. It's like, you don't have to have everything planned out. In fact, you can't have everything planned out because you don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. Like look at COVID. Like, you couldn't have planned that out. Mm. It wasn't Tokyo 2020 originally.
Yeah. And it changed. And you know what? It worked out to be better for me, even though I found that a really hard time.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, the law of attraction thing is, you know, it's always interesting, but it really does come down to, I guess, almost hopeless naivety.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the same with me. It's like, you know, everyone's kind of starting a podcast now, but to actually make minimum wage on a podcast is so difficult. Like just to make minimum wage is incredibly difficult. And I guess when I started it, I had no idea. Had I known how difficult it would be, I may have been deterred. It's like, oh, I'm not going to bother because it's so hard. But it's just by being naive and hopeless and, you know, just I'm just going to do it. That's almost the best thing.
And even looking back and you'd be able to say the same, you can be like, I don't even know how I pulled some of the things I've pulled off. I don't know. But because I had a vision and a goal and you do those daily tasks, things just fall into place.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you just think about all the steps it's going to take, you get like analysis, paralysis, and you do nothing.
Yeah.
You're better off even taking a step in the wrong direction than taking no step.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like not making a decision is a decision.
Yeah.
You've made the decision to do nothing. Yeah. So if you're going to make a decision.
You've made a decision to do nothing.
It's like you might as well do something that's going to move you towards a goal or whatever. But like,
you've made a decision not to try.
Exactly. But when you have a goal, like you, let's say to become, join, oh, I want to be an Olympian. That's your big goal, right? Like if you were to break down all the steps, it's going to be analysis paralysis.
Certainly.
All you have to do is focus on what is an immediate next step that's going to get me closer. Yeah. It's waking up at 5 a.m. every day. It's getting a coach. It's going on YouTube and watching how to do it. It's, you know, practicing whatever it is, just focus on that immediate next step.
And that's all you can do. And it's so valuable. It's just taking the next step and visualizing where you want to go. And for people that say like, I don't know what to do, I feel like intuitionally, like you do. You kind of know what you should be doing and what's next.
Yeah.
And I feel like you can just throw all things in between to be like, oh, I'm not quite sure. But I feel like you know.
It's that gut feeling, isn't it, deep down? Yeah. And it doesn't mean that you know what your passion is or you know what you want to do, but you know what you should be doing.
Yeah.
It's like
And you know where it's going to lead.
Mm.
But I feel like you know what you should be doing. And you feel when it's right.
Yeah. There's that I was doing an episode ages ago and he said, you know, people use the North Star as a guide. So it's like even though you might see the North Star ahead of you and so just keep heading towards that North Star. You might have to go around mountains and so you head east, but then you go back and you're on track. Or the other analogy was if you're a flight from like New York to London doesn't go directly to London. It goes this way and then this way based on the wind direction and it keeps going different directions, but the overall outcome is London. And so sometimes in your life, you'll be heading this way and then you'll be heading this way. But so long as you're heading in the right direction, you know, that's the right, you're on the right path.
100%. And just having goals and knowing where you want to go. And I think some people get thrown off when they have that goal and that it takes a different direction and they give up, they quit, you know, they just think it's too hard and all those things, like it is hard. And you can say that, but until you've been in that point where nothing's going your way and you just feel like the universe is against you and you still have your vision, like that's so powerful.
Mm.
And I feel like that's when law of attraction things is the most effective. But yeah, if you just have your goal and you just stick with the deviations and just make sure you're heading in the right direction, then you'll get there or you'll at least be in a good place.
Yeah, and it always – I find if we're using like sticking with that analogy, like planning a vacation, right? Like I've got some friends who like make spreadsheets for everything they want to do, which is fine. Which
we
is
actually
great.
Recently planned the boys trip and we had to cap the planning.
Yeah, yeah,
we have to cap it. Because
it's like you need some sort of fluidity and freedom because it's like, let's just get there. Let's have a boat tour on Saturday and then figure out what we're doing for the rest of the week.
This is so raw. When we went to Gold Coast, it was the same. We had plans roughly for what we wanted to do and someone was like, oh, we've only got a couple of things planned and others were like, yeah, that's all we want. They're like, oh, but we need to fill this time. It's like, nah, we kind of like want a little bit of planning and then just wing the rest.
Yeah. And that's when I find the best stuff happens half the time. And you can apply that to life.
Yeah.
Like obviously you got to work hard. You got to have, you know, plans and goals and all this sort of stuff, but also like just winging it and just kind of going with it.
And having a crack.
Yeah. Have a crack. That's always the thing I say to young people, take a risk.
Have a go.
Because it's like, even if you failed and you didn't make it to the Olympics, at least you gave it a shot. And now you know, because otherwise there's another version of you who didn't and they're always going to be wondering, could I have made it? So at least you gave it a shot.
And when you're trying, like it even puts you in a better spot. Like you're better off giving it a go and failing than to have never tried. And I always think about that around competitions and like I'm even better off going out there and not doing my best and not going out.
Mm. Yeah, that's it. It was like if you're going to make a decision, you might as well try it. And I mean, we talk about comfort zones, right? And we say when you leave your comfort zone, you enter into the fear zone. Mm. And you've got two choices when you enter the fear zone. You can either step back into your comfort zone or you can push through it. Now, most people in life step back into the comfort zone. But if you push through the fear zone, we then say to the audience, now, every time you push through the fear zone, is it going to be a good outcome? And they go, no, that's life. It's not always going to be good. But whether you fail, whether you succeed, whether it's good, whether it's bad, you're going to experience some level of growth. Doesn't matter if you fail or succeed because you're going to grow. And that's really what we need to be aiming for as young people, just constantly trying to grow.
Yeah. And just try to do better, be better, and just get out of that comfort zone. But the fear zone, I feel like when you talk about, like, it's a real thing.
Mm.
I feel like we can look at people online and be like, oh, you know, they don't have the fear, or that's just them, or we put them in the box where it's like, oh, but, you know, Byron can do it, but I can't.
Yeah.
And like, that's not true. Like, we're all people and we all have like the same emotions and we all get nervous. We all have those fears. It's just, you've got to do it anyway.
Mm. How did you find, because you, I mean, have we really gone to your full story? Yeah. It was, you know, you performed at the Olympics. You're still training now. You're a professional diver. But you're also a content creator and you built quite a big audience of over a million followers on TikTok, and you really leveraged the momentum of the Tokyo Olympics, which, as I was saying to you, like, such a great move. Because look, Olympians don't get paid huge amounts. Even gold medalists in Australia, what's the reward?
I'm not sure. I think it's like, is he a 20 or 30?
Yeah, it's something nothing. Like that. 20 or 30 grand?
Yeah.
That's nothing.
In the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. Considering you've worked your whole life and you're representing the country. So it's, you've done a really smart play where you've kind of built an income and a brand outside of just the Olympian thing. But did you feel like you had a lot more pressure on you during the Olympics because you had built this following online? You had a lot more eyeballs on you, especially young Australians?
Yeah, yes and no. Well, certainly more pressure. But I was always making content as a kid.
Yeah.
So I've always been used to a little bit more pressure from the content I put out. But I put out the content because I really enjoy it.
Mm.
It gives me something to do. It's a passion point of mine. I love my sport. I love to share it. Like, when I was young, I used to go diving, dive, get videos, go home and edit them up.
Yeah.
That was my life. I just loved it. And when I got to the Olympics, just different scale on everything. But I just kind of did the same thing I'd normally do in my day-to-day life. And I saw that as a way of dealing with the Olympics.
Mm.
You know, some thing that was just – because the TikTok wasn't just the Olympics. I was making things way before that.
Yeah.
So for me, it was even like jump on my PS4 to play a game. It was like, oh, I make content at home.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it the Olympics.
Mm. And, you know, that's an interesting point because I was saying to you before.
I travel with my PS4 too.
You did, yeah.
I don't play much at home, but whenever I travel, I bring it. I love to bring it. I don't know why. I just love it.
Not PS5?
No, I don't. PS5.
Yeah. They're hard to get.
I've just heard they're hard to get.
They're so hard to get.
Yeah.
I got mates who have like been waiting like 18 months to get them because of COVID.
Yeah.
Like there's been all these issues. Like it's just unbelievable.
I only play a few games too, like
Fortnite
and Black Ops 3 Zombies. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, yeah. That's the original. Not the original, but that's like.
Yeah, it's like the OG.
That's the OG. Yeah, that's the best. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. So you're creating content before the Olympics, but then a lot of people probably only know you from the Olympics. But that's so important to understand. It's like, oh, you just blew up overnight.
Nah. Yeah, I was making content. Well, I've been making content for like a decade. I was always filming stuff as a kid, making videos. You can scroll right back on my Instagram and see videos of me at gymnastics. And I was just still passionate about the content, making YouTube videos, like everything. I just enjoyed it. And I think the overnight success just stories come from people. They might find out really quickly, but they don't know what's gone into it.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like because my views and that spiked around the Olympics, like before the games, I still had like 400,000 followers.
Yeah.
I was still pulling 100 mil a year.
Yeah.
It's just I pulled that in a week at the Olympics.
Yeah, yeah.
It like took what I did in a year into a week.
Yeah.
It was insane.
Yeah. And you really like leveraged that momentum.
Yeah. Well, I just made the most of it. It was a cool opportunity. I loved what I was doing. It was taking my mind off diving. It was just such a win-win-win for me.
Yeah.
That it was a no-brainer.
And I mean, here's an interesting question for you. But like if you had to choose one, would you consider yourself – an athlete or a content creator?
Athlete.
Athlete first?
Yeah.
So that's always the goal, athlete first.
Yeah. And same with when I was at school. Like I'm an athlete.
Yeah.
And a content creator, but predominantly an athlete.
That's your real passion.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
I train twice a day, every day of the week, nearly. I'm up at 5 a.m. at that pool, grinding. I don't even post about like nearly any of my training because it's like sleep. I don't post before I go to bed. It's just what I do. I don't really see it as like a big thing. So I never really post much about my training. And I think a lot of people get misled and think I'm just out doing all this stuff. It's I don't post my training because it's so enrooted to what I do. I didn't even think it was worth posting about.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And you just do it every day. It's like every day. If you're doing it twice a day, what are you going to post? Like the same, and it's probably just the same stuff. You're just doing the same flip 100, 200, 500 times until you can like nail it. Yeah.
And I do share a little bit of my training here and there, but training is predominantly what I do.
Mm.
And I think, it can be misled on social media, but simply because I just don't post every time I train.
Yeah. And because I mean,
it's kind of like that person that goes to the gym like once and they always take that photo.
Yeah. Opposite.
Know? Yeah. It's like the opposite. I go there so often, I don't bother. And I try and get photos here and there, but it's just kind of like I go in, I get my stuff done, I get out.
Well, I was the same even like this is, I mean, I'm about to release my 100th episode on the podcast.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And so, but I mean, it means every single week I've been releasing an episode for like 2 years. Yeah. And I'm just like, I don't really post about it on my main account too much now because I'm just like, people surely get sick of me to post every week, new episode. It's just like, because it's just so ingrained in what I do now.
Yeah. You don't post about it?
I know, I do still, but there's a part of me that's like, I don't post as much as I used to because I just do it so often. It's almost like I forget, like the diving. It's like, it's just what I do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, no, I need to be sharing this and like getting it out there. Obviously,
it's so easy to forget.
I post the clips, of course.
Yeah.
But actually, you know, hey, this episode's now live with Sam. Guys, go check it out. Because I'm like, I feel like if I do that once a week, it's just so ingrained in what I do.
And that's, And maybe it's something I should reconsider because it can maybe mislead people to think that's just like what I'm doing, not realizing how much hard work I really put in. Like my former coach said that I was like the hardest working athlete she coached. Like I really grind it as hard as I can. And even throughout my injuries, like I still rock up, I'm still there. I still put in the hours of whatever I can do. And it's even diving. It's been really rough last couple of months since the Olympics, just battling injuries.
Mm.
Broke my foot, hurt my back, hurt my shoulders, hurt my foot again.
Oh my God.
It's hard.
Was this during diving?
No.
Oh, other stuff?
Most of it was outside the pool.
Right. Yeah. There you go.
Which is, it's interesting because you can't live your life. Like I can't go home and sit in the lounge all day and do nothing because that's not good either.
Mm.
But I can't go out and take stupid risks.
Yeah, right.
But I also love things like rock jumping. So it's such a fine line between what I do.
Making the sacrifice, but then also not completely sacrificing your entire life.
And when I was trying to make the Olympics, there's things I cut out of my life to just solely focus on diving. And what I realized throughout that was some sacrifices have to be made.
Mm.
Waking up at 5 a.m., you know, training 5 hours a day, that must be made. But other sacrifices don't have to be made and they can be worked around. And I feel like you shouldn't make a sacrifice just because it's a sacrifice. You should only be doing it if it's benefiting you in some way. And I found training towards the Olympics, I was cutting things out that I didn't need to.
Because
it did help some stuff, but I learned that a sacrifice is only really like a sacrifice if it's helping you in some way.
Well, there's a study done that they followed two scientist teams. One had won two Nobel Prizes, the other hadn't won any. And they looked at them and I can't remember the exact numbers, but it was something like the team that had won the Nobel Prizes was 10% more likely to have recreational hobbies, 20% more likely to be into like sport and fitness, 30% more likely to be doing all this different stuff and take more breaks. And they're going, this team had won two Nobel Prizes and they didn't work as hard as this team. They still sacrificed a lot, but they still had hobbies and stuff. And I think by having hobbies, by being able to relax and still see friends, it's actually going to be able to improve your Olympic performance or whatever you're doing. And to just tunnel vision on one thing can actually be quite dangerous.
Certainly. And my earlier coach, Vinka, warned me about that. And because I was so obsessed with diving and that's just all I'd do. I'd go diving. I'd get my clips, I'd go home and edit them, I'd watch diving and all that. And she's like, you need to find some things outside the pool that you can be doing because it will help you.
Mm.
And at the time I was like, surely not. Like, no, but like she was right. And it's because when you got things outside the pool, it takes your mind off it. Because if I'm sitting at home on my lounge thinking about diving, draining my mental energy, when I get to the pool when I need it, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
Where if I'm out with friends or doing something else productive, taking my mind off it, I'm kind of more fresh to the challenge when it arises.
Mm. And that was something I think I saved it. And I need to probably reference it more, but I saw a TikTok clip of a TED talk and he was talking about the different ways of relaxing. He's like, sleep's one of them, of course.
Yeah.
But I think a big issue is like I struggle to relax because I struggle to switch off. I've always got stuff. Same. And you'll sit on the bed on TikTok and it's like, that's not relaxing.
Yeah.
That's, if anything, making it worse. You go from one screen to another.
Yeah. And it reminds you that you should be making content.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, that was a good video. Oh, I should be doing videos.
Yeah, 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 that's a good sound. Better save that.
Yeah.
We're cutting someone.
Yeah. And then it's like, no, you need to relax. Go for a walk in the sun. Go sit out and don't, you know, listen. No, I mean, don't have music blast. You just sit down and just try to calm down.
I find that hard too. I know a lot of content creators who are in the exact same position. And I feel like, you know, whether it's ADHD or anything like that, like it's hard to relax and switch off. And personally, that's something I've found really challenging.
Mm.
And it's a funny thing to say. I think people who understand will understand that when you try to switch off, it's really hard. And like when I went on holidays, it took me nearly a week to like calm myself down.
I mean, it's a content creator's curse.
Yeah.
It's like when you're a content creator, or whatever you want to call yourself, like you can be making content at any point.
Mm.
When you're watching TV, the opportunity cost is I could be making videos,
yeah,
which is a really dangerous mindset to have because it's like you need to also relax.
Yeah.
I went to Great Barrier Reef at the beginning of this year and the island I was on had no internet. It was the best thing ever. I couldn't do anything. So I just couldn't access anything because if it was there, I would have looked at it for sure.
Yeah.
I don't have the discipline. Like, I don't have the discipline to not go on my phone for 6 days straight. But because there's no internet, I had to. And it was so nice. And when I get back, I'm bombarded with messages and got to play catch up. But for that, you know, 6 day period, it was really nice.
Really good.
Yeah.
Did you find that really help bring clarity or it was just a good time to relax? How did that help?
All of the above. Like, especially because I haven't had a holiday since like COVID hit, because every holiday I kept planning kept getting canceled. And so, and because I work for myself, it's like, oh, you should take a week off. It's like, for what reason? Like, I just sit at home and do nothing. I might as well work. And so I hadn't taken a long time off. And then also to get away from the phone, to be with my family. And it was kicking off the new year. So I just planned out my goals. So I was thinking about what I want to do. So it was really good.
Those goals are so important that I sit down every year and I write down 100 goals.
Oh,
I put it on my wall and I forget about it. Then I've got my three main goals that I think about on the daily. And law of attraction and just doing my daily tasks help achieve those 100 goals.
Mm.
And then those daily actions will help achieve those three goals I have at hand.
Yeah.
But yeah, those goals are so important.
Well, something because we at Empower You, the program I mentioned to you, we get them to do their 100 list, which is basically whether they're goals or dreams or like aspirations.
Is it 100?
We do 100, yeah.
That's the show I do.
We say the 100
list. We've never spoken about this.
No. Coincidence. So we say, or your bucket list or whatever you want to call it. So it's like, I want to own 5 properties. I want to all this, get as crazy as you want because it's your 100 list.
Yeah.
Then we go, all right, now what are some, same as you, smaller goals and stuff. And something I actually did this year was, because it's so fluid each year, especially lately, I didn't even plan out yearly goals. I just said, what are the goals for this quarter? Yeah. So I'm just doing quarterly goals now. And like, look, I've got bigger goals that, you know, dreams and stuff that I want to hit.
Yeah.
It's like, let's just focus on quarterly goals. Cause otherwise like stuff happens so quickly. Like, you know, our cases spiked immediately. All the events shut down over the past 2 months. Before that we were free and all this stuff just changes. So that's something interesting when it comes to goal setting. Cause again, you can't be in full control, but if you just focus on, as you mentioned, your three goals, your daily goals, the immediate habits, that's how you can achieve it. Like I say, a goal is just a habit compounded over time.
Yeah.
The habit of waking up at 5 a.m. every morning, you know, pretty simple really.
Yeah, making the right choices. And like, even when you make a mistake or you slip up, it's about just catching yourself too. Like it's easy to spiral out of control. Like say if you were dieting and you had a biscuit and it's like, oh, it just kind of spirals from there. Like it's just about catching yourself too before things get too bad.
Mm.
I think it can be easy, I found especially during lockdown, to let things just keep slipping away. If you can catch it early, I think it's much easier.
Well, I mean, habits can be as equally good as they can be equally bad.
Yep, certainly.
That's something from Atomic Habits. He's like, look, you got to make new habits, but before that, you got to break your bad habits.
Yep.
Like that's really important. But I wanted to ask the question. I kind of already asked you, but I wanted to ask it here as well. So like, I mean, because you live a pretty unique life, Olympian, content, whatever, all that stuff. Like what does a day look like for you? You mentioned you wake up early to train, but what do you do in between? What does an average day look like for you?
Weeks are pretty structured. So Monday, Wednesday and Fridays, I'm training like nearly twice a day. I get Wednesday morning off. So twice a day on most of those days. And then during the day, I'm just making content or like having meetings or going out with friends or adventuring, doing things like that.
Mm.
And then Tuesday, Thursdays are straight up like just business days. I go to training in the morning. I go do my business stuff like Sam Straws, and then I go back to training.
Mm.
I used to coach every night, most nights of the week. I just cut that out to focus on more of what I'm doing and what's more important to me.
Yeah.
I'm still doing a bit of coaching because I do like to give back to the sport, and I do have such a passion for it. Like, I enjoy it. Like, but I just don't do it for the money or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And
even Sam Straws, like, I've never taken a cent from the business.
I was just about to say, yeah. Do you want to tell it? Like, you know, you've got this stuff going on. What is Sam Straws? It's a business you've started.
Yeah. So, like, I saw the video of the plastic straw stuck in the turtle's nose, and I was so moved by that that I started an eco-friendly straw company called Sam Straws, where we sell biodegradable wheat stems as drinking straws. They're literally grown. They're not even manufactured.
Right.
And then when you're done with them, you can just throw them away and they'll biodegrade. Now I sell them to restaurants, retail on my website, and I've just, yeah, even that, like I've never taken a cent from the business. I just kind of reinvest everything and just try to compound the impact.
Yeah. And what's that process been like for you, starting up a business, finding manufacturers, or not finding manufacturers because you don't manufacture, but finding
suppliers,
yeah. All that sort of stuff, marketing it. How's that journey been?
Yeah, it was extremely insightful and challenging, and a lot of YouTube. You can learn anything from YouTube.
The University of YouTube.
Anything you could learn.
Yeah.
You can learn on YouTube. Like I watch things from Mindset to Mr. Beast to How Do I Get an ABN?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's crazy. It covers everything.
I mean, I know people who are like, they'll watch their lectures and then they'll actually go watch a YouTube video to actually understand what it is.
Yeah.
And it's like.
Before my HSC, because I was not great at studying, I just listened to things about those subjects on YouTube as I was driving.
Mm.
And that's kind of how I prepped myself for the exams.
Yeah.
And then I went in all my final exams and got like all 70s and 80s. I got like an 86 for one, which for me was pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm not extremely academic on that front, but yeah, just YouTube.
University of YouTube, man.
It's incredible.
It's like, amazing.
Anything you want to learn, you could learn.
I mean, that's the thing. They used to say knowledge is power, and it used to be.
Yeah.
But now they say knowledge is potential power because knowledge is infinite. We can get it whenever we want at the click of a finger. Yep. Like,
even, and that's why memorization of work in schools isn't relevant anymore.
That's right. Because memorization used to be a valuable skill because you couldn't just Google it, but now you can. Yeah.
Yep.
That's a huge thing.
And then it's like, okay, well, if we have all the information at hand, now we need to learn how to use it, and they should be teaching that.
Mm. I mean, even like formulas and stuff, it's like, yeah, I think it's good to learn formulas and math, but is it that important? Like we can literally, there are apps where you can like write the formula and it'll solve it for you.
Yeah. When I was designing one of my products, I was in the process of making Sam Straws. I come out with a metal straw product that I was going to sell before I realized that we really needed a single use straw product. And I designed this, it was like a cylinder, and I had to calculate how I had 6 straws in the top of the cylinder. I had to calculate the distance between each hole so I could send it to a supplier so they could make it properly. And I couldn't remember how to do that for mass. I simply Googled it.
Yeah.
And within seconds, the computer would just figure it out for me.
Yeah.
And which makes all that stuff redundant.
It's obsolete. And look, there's of course there's validity in actually understanding it. But it's like, in my opinion, when we're learning those stuff in math, we could be learning something more important. Like how to save money, how to manage our finances, communication skills, how to get a loan, stuff that everyone is going to have to do. Because even though you can Google how to get a loan and stuff, it's still difficult because there's like 50 different ways of doing it. There's all different banks, there's different styles.
Or to avoid.
Like,
we could be taught more relevant life skills. And even some of the most valuable lessons I learned from school were from the teachers that would come in and just kind of tell stories.
Yeah.
And talk about their life.
The best teachers.
And things they've learned. And those were the best teachers that I had takeaways from. And even just quotes like, I remember one of the teachers was saying, like, if someone loses someone, like, you don't really know how to deal with something like that unless you've been through or been taught. And he said, you don't need to have the answers. You just need to be there for them.
Mm.
And he said, another one is like, you'd rather love and lose than to have never loved. And those are extremely valuable life lessons.
Mm.
And I learned that from like teachers that would come in and just talk stories.
That's it. In economics, for year 11, we would just talk. I would often start them. Because I don't learn by highlighting from a textbook.
Who does? Surely that's a minute percentage of the population.
I mean, some people must because they get like really high marks and stuff and their brain just works differently to mine. But I just
know how mine
switch
works.
Off.
Yeah.
And so I'd rather have conversations and we're like, oh, so what does that mean? And she talks about it, uses examples.
Yeah.
Then in year 12, I don't know what happened, but then she just went to highlighting. And such a big difference, man. I hated the class. I used to love it to hating it.
Yeah.
And then we had one teacher come in as a sub, and he was the most dynamic. He just speaking the whole time. I was like, oh my God, this, you can see how a bad teacher can crush your love for something. And a good teacher can enhance your love for something.
Certainly.
Which is why I think teachers are such an important role in society, and the way we view them in Australia is quite sad.
Yeah, well, education is extremely important. Mm. You need to be educated in anything you want to be successful in. I just think some of the systems we have to educate our students are flawed.
Mm.
And I think they can be better.
Yeah.
And I think it's about, like, you know, being more creative and moving away from any, like, most jobs that can be done more than once, like you were saying earlier, will become obsolete, like drivers and other things like that. But what won't become obsolete is creativity.
Yeah. There's this, they're saying, like, not specifically content creators, but like designers, creators,
artists,
all that sort of stuff is going to be like one of the most profitable.
Look at NFTs.
Yeah, NFTs. That's coming.
That's a huge step in the direction of that that creativity that cannot be taken by a computer.
Yeah.
That I know of.
Yeah.
Maybe in a couple of years I'll be caught off record saying that, but yeah.
No, we'll date this podcast. 2021.
Yeah.
It's so true though. Like, I mean, that is the future. Like, creativity is a huge part. They actually did a really fascinating study where they had two groups of children and they gave them coloring pencils and just let them kind of go wild. Like, they said, here, have fun with it. And they were going crazy and stuff, you know, drawing stuff. And then they went to this group and they started like giving them gold stars and kind of giving them points based on what they were doing. And the study was kind of trying to show that like this group actually did way more and had a lot more fun and created way more pieces. This group had a lot less, even though they were getting marked and scored. It's because getting marking and scoring creativity can often crush your creativity, and you can't put like a cage around creativity. It's like, how do we teach creativity at school? You can try teach it, but also I think we need to not teach it. Just give kids the space where they're allowed to figure it out.
Certainly. I remember one day I submitted an art project. It was literally like a piece of art in art. It got like a bad mark. And I was like, maybe it was bad, but who are you to tell me that my art is bad?
It's subjective.
Now, I'm no artist.
Yeah.
It might not have been great. But in hindsight, like some of these NFTs they're selling, right? Like art's very subjective. And I think that you should, create that space where people can be creative, but to try and like judge someone's creativity in some way can be really destructive.
It's tough and it's difficult because we always have to be realistic. It's like if it is bad art, it's bad art.
Yeah.
But then it's like, but how do you know? It's like so.
Like some of those paintings, for example, where you look at it and it's not like a painting of someone, it's like abstract. How do you know if that's good or bad?
Yeah. I studied a urinal in art.
You studied the urinal?
A guy posted, his artwork was a urinal. And I was like, this is a joke. But literally, dude, as I studied it, it's super interesting. Like the reason he put it there, like there's so much story behind it, which makes the art like really interesting.
See, I feel like you can build a story behind any point.
Yeah, it's true. It is true.
Like you could even refer to like, getting the bad stuff out and getting, you know, new stuff in.
Right.
Or even just like that could be a symbolic for anything that's bad, you know. I feel like you can, and that's something I found with English. You can literally, and they said this, you can say whatever you want if you have evidence to back it up.
Yeah.
And I just feel like you can take old languages just completely the wrong way.
Yeah.
Like that spaghetti meme we saw on TikTok.
Yeah.
It's like John ate spaghetti or something. And I was like, the soft spaghetti like represented the soft society or something like that. Like for me, I'm just like.
There was a, you know, Taika Waititi? Yeah. He's New Zealand director. He did like Thor and he did Jojo Rabbit. He posted a movie and I saw him, he was doing an interview and someone was talking, he's like, yeah, oh, English student, people who study my movies will say it's because of this, because of that. He's like, no, I just did it because it was cool. Yeah. And he's the director and the English teachers are going, the reason he did this was to show the symbolism between this and this and this.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, maybe sometimes he does, but sometimes they are a bit of a reach.
And some things can be broken down, but some things just said and mean what they said and mean.
Yeah.
You know?
Anyways, man, we'll move on. I guess going back into more of the, you know, because we're talking before about content creation and stuff and how you think by getting up early and just being an athlete, that gave you the discipline to be a decent content creator. Because being a content creator, you've got to be consistent. You've got to be doing it over 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years plus, whatever. Long term, it is actually quite hard. A lot of people look at them and go, oh, they've got an easy life. Well, it's actually quite difficult. So how important do you think discipline has been in your life to like help build you up to who you are?
Yeah, the lessons I learned from diving, and I found like the lessons and rules for success are the same in anything you do.
Mm.
Whether it's running Sam Straws, making the Olympics, or building a following or social media presence, it all requires the same skills. So I found it super valuable to take what I learned from diving and bring it straight over to TikTok and dealing with things like when your content's not going great for 6 months. I've had to deal with that, right? And some people just quit. They give up. But, you know, typical rules, you surround yourself with good people, you have a vision, you still do those daily tasks and you just keep chipping away. And you know what's funny? They always talk about how the universe will really hit you with the worst stuff before you have your biggest high.
Yeah.
That 6 months was right before the Olympic Games. Mm. And without that discipline from diving, maybe I wouldn't have pulled through.
Because that's something I think this generation lacks a lot of, discipline. I think it's just so easy to not be disciplined. It's so easy to not show up to stuff, especially with COVID. Like that's an easy out. People just were like, oh, nah, I don't want to risk it. I've seen that. A lot of people are using that excuse. And look, it's valid for some people.
Yeah, no, I'm not discouraging that one. I just, yeah. Excuses sound so good to yourself.
Yeah.
Like, and sometimes I have excuses.
Of course.
And I hear them to myself. I'm like, I sometimes catch myself out. I'm like, come on, Sam, surely not. Surely you're not telling yourself that.
Yeah.
Like if I've had a hard session, oh yeah, it's because I normally have 2 coffees a day and I have one. It's like, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, come on. Like, I try and catch myself in those, but we can all fall victim. But it's just funny. Have you ever caught yourself in some of those things you're telling yourself? And he's like, wait a second. Nah, that's rubbish.
Bro, I teach this to students, like at Empower You. I'm on stage teaching you, like, don't, like, everyone's full of excuses. You don't need an excuse. You can have excuses or results. You can't have both. That's a quote we use. I talk about it. And sometimes I'll catch myself doing it. I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing? Like, I teach this stuff. I need to be better.
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely. I think no one is perfect.
And we can all get better.
Yeah.
And I'm saying it on record. Like, I've heard some of my own excuses. And I'm just like, nah, toughen up, Sam. Keep going.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not taking it.
Well, we can find ways to justify.
Anything.
Yeah. It's like the coffee one. I normally have 2 coffees. I had 1 coffee. It's like, no, that's not going to impact you that much.
Yeah.
And if it is, that's probably a problem.
Yeah. If it is, it's probably still in there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Most of those challenges are all mental. And I think the other thing is distractions so easy to pick up your phone and just get taken away. And I fall victim to that sometimes. And I find best thing for me that makes me feel great is getting out in nature, like my rock jumping, exploring, hanging out with my friends, and like just going on TikTok for hours. It's probably just not great.
No, it's definitely not. Like I love TikTok. It's changed our lives. Both of us changed our lives. Yeah. It's the only reason we're here.
And I wouldn't say don't use it.
Yeah.
I'm saying like there's other things I do as well that add so much value to the whole circle. You can't just be on your phone.
It's tricky because it's like, do you say don't use it? Because I know if I say use it, but then, you know, you got to have a good relationship with it.
It's like anything.
But TikTok is so addictive.
Yeah.
So many people like have a really bad relationship. Even this morning, like, because I didn't do my gym routine this morning. I was on my phone for like 30 minutes on TikTok and I feel all muggy and I'm like, oh, why did I do that?
Yeah.
Like usually I'm up, I'm not on my phone until like 8 o'clock. For the first 3 hours I wake up, I'm not on my phone.
Okay.
And so yeah, like I do it all the time. And then every time I do it, I'm like, oh, I feel bad, yet sometimes I'll keep doing it.
Yeah.
And so it really is, like you've got to be super diligent with your technology.
Or if you just have an out.
Yeah.
Like for me, it's making plans.
Mm.
If I've got to go be at this lunch where I can't spend all day doing this.
And
that's why training and the accountability is so good.
Mm.
It keeps me in a good routine.
Mm.
And having a routine is extremely important because it helps you stay productive and make use of the time. Like the busier I am, the more productive, the more successful, and the better I feel.
Yeah, same. I like, and it's not just work busy, but if I've got stuff to do, it's like, you know, meeting up with someone, doing something. It's like you're not getting distracted because if you've got nothing to do, you'll find the time to fill it with TikTok or movies or swiping through dating apps or whatever it is, right? Whereas if you're busy, you're just focusing on yourself.
Yeah, which is the best way to be.
Yeah.
The other one is like an idle mind is a devil's playground. And I found that during lockdown, like when you, it was hard because if you're sitting there by yourself with nothing to do and you can't go out and see people, like your mind can play with you.
Mm.
Like staying busy and staying productive and having plans, it just steers you away from so many destructive things just by having a plan. Like most of my decisions are based on, like, for example, training. If my friends ask me to go out the night before, it's like, well, I have training in the morning, so I can't do that.
Mm.
You know, when you have that goal, it just gets rid of so much rubbish.
Mm.
Like you just don't realize how impactful that is.
Yeah. And then that's when you start surrounding yourself with other people who are getting up early. And then you go, all right, we'll come over at 6, we'll have lunch, we'll have dinner, and then we'll all go to bed. Because that's the issue. Like, you know, some of my mates, if they're up playing games until 1 o'clock in the morning, it's like, I just can't. I can't do what I want to achieve in my life and do that every single night. I could do it on a Saturday night here and there, but I can't be consistently doing it like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night and stuff. And so then you got to find people who are more like you, because people like themselves.
Yeah.
You know, that's why it's cool to meet someone like you who's a young guy who's doing cool stuff and like creative. We're talking about, you know, there's not many people I can talk about the issues that I have with content because people just don't get it. And this is, by the way, anyone listening, this applies to whatever your hobby, passion, whatever it is, whatever your beliefs are. Mm. Trying to find, you know, if you can just find good quality people, it'll change your entire life.
100%. One, I couldn't agree more. And you'd rather have, and I'm fairly confident, like you'd rather have no friends than people that are leading you down the wrong path.
Right. That's a good one.
And even at school, like I just steered away from kind of like the, like the popular game and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, nah, you know what's cool? Being yourself and nailing it.
Yeah.
And people might look this way or that way, but eventually people are going to be like, at least know deep down, like, hey, I want that. Mm. Like, I want to be able to go out and be myself and not care.
Yeah.
It just has so many freedoms. And the other thing is, like, people will dislike you whether you're yourself or you pretend to be someone you're not.
Yeah.
So you might as well have people dislike you for who you are.
Yeah, literally. Like, and the fact is, you know, people are going to dislike you.
At least I'm happy.
When you put yourself out there.
Yeah. You can't please everyone.
Yeah. Because that was something when I started the podcast, I was like, I'm starting a podcast to help young people, teach them practical skills. Yeah. I'm doing everything to help them. Why would anyone hate on me? But then I've got heaps of people who like disagree with the clips or like, you know, especially on TikTok, it's an absolute shit show. Mm. Like it's crazy with what goes on there. Like the comments there.
And it's because they're all hiding behind a glass.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like they're all on the other side.
With no profile picture and no content up on their page.
Yeah, you know. And like, who cares? I've always said like, I will take the advice from my friends, my family and the people in my inner circle and anyone else, like it doesn't particularly matter.
Mm.
Same with like messages. Like most people who are super important in my life, like have my number.
Yeah. See, same. I turn off all my notifications
on my
phone.
All my notifications are off.
Except for my text messages.
Yeah.
Because the only texts I get are like, you know, I mean, when you text me, like anything else you message me on, I wouldn't have seen it unless I actually checked it.
Well, when we were organizing this, it was like on TikTok.
Oh, it was like days.
Our messages were like days apart.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's because like I don't spend a lot of time checking my DMs or that. Yeah. Like anything that's super important to me. You got my number.
Yeah. And then there's that, to even pull this point home even more, if you imagine like at the end of a movie when the credits come up, when the first credits come up, you've got, you know, the main actor, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You got the director and everything. It's like if you imagine that's your immediate close friends and family. And that's the credits we watch. But then when we start walking out of the theater, it's Stuntman 1, Stuntman 2. It's a a secondary assistant producer who did something, raising. It's all this huge credits that we don't really care about. And it's like people give so much time to those people. Just focus on like the most important people. That's the credits that we see. All the other credits are, you know, the people who comment on your videos or who, even high school people who aren't like that close to your, you're not that close with them. Like really, I think it's good advice to listen to the people around you, your coaches and stuff, but then not get affected by just everyday people.
100%. And the people in your life, like you've got to choose them carefully and then take their advice on board. And sometimes my friends have pulled me aside so many times, be like, hey, Sam, you know, maybe think about this or maybe think about that. And they do it in the right way. You know, like we're not going to be in a group here and be like, hey, Sam, you know, call me out and make me look silly. Like,
yeah.
It's just not the way you do things. Like my true friends, if they see something, they think I could be doing better, like they'll pull me aside, have a chat about it and we'll deal with it that way. And I've changed things in my life for the better, for small things like that.
It's interesting you say that because I feel like I need to have a chat with someone in my really? In my life. Like they, and it, like, because I love them so much. Yeah. It's like, I feel like I need to, I think it would be a disservice
to them
to not say anything. Mm. And I think it's very easy. You know, a friend who's not as close as them might just not say anything. Mm. But I'm going, look, because I really like you as a person, we should have this conversation. And I've been putting it off for a while.
And that's what a good friend will do.
Yeah.
Like they'll help you out. When you need it, they'll be there for you to support you, but they'll also let you know when you're not holding yourself to the standards that you should be.
Mm. Or if you're being a poor friend or not showing up or it's like, look, we're putting on all this effort and you're not doing this and stuff. Yeah. And that's why, I mean, this comes up every episode, but I just talk about how important it is to have good quality people around you.
It's just the most important thing because it just resets your standards.
Yeah.
Like say no one else made content. I didn't know anyone else making content. When I went through certain challenges, you look around and be like, I'm alone.
Yeah.
When you're not, you just don't know other people are going through the same thing. So when you can hang out with similar people, you can be like, hey, this problem I'm having isn't just me. Mm. Like we've all been through this. And it gives you light at the end of the tunnel to know that we're not just going through the same stuff, but hey, old mate's gotten out of it.
Yeah.
He's just started. Like we're all figuring it out together and we'll all be okay.
Yeah. That's why I started my program, just to bring people together.
Yeah,
because I feel like so many people struggle to find the people we're talking about.
Yeah, and I've always believed like people are the most important part of life.
Mm.
Like this money is great. It's good to have success and achieve your dreams. But without the people to share that with, you've got nothing, you know?
Mm.
Like money's great for being able to come out for breakfast with my friends, sit down, have a chat and enjoy that time together because time is your most valuable asset.
Mm.
Like that's what money is great for. But money in the bank isn't going to make you, like, it isn't going to exactly make you happy.
Yeah.
It's just like utilizing it for great things, which is hanging out with great people.
That's why when I teach the money and finance section, the first hour of it is just saying your relationship with money and what's your mindset around money. Because we can teach you saving strategies. We can talk about compounding interest and investing and all that. But it's like, if the only reason you're doing it is because you want to be viewed as successful in the eyes of society, it's not a good enough reason.
That's the other thing. Like we see so many people walking around with just like the latest brands and that. Like I keep it pretty cash. Like I wear my training gear nearly every day of the week because I'm training. And then like normal shirts, normal shoes. I recently bought like a $10 pair of shoes from Kmart that I've been rocking whenever I go out to like a club or anything because
status trap.
I just don't care.
It's a status. I just don't care. And I mean, status isn't always a bad thing. Like I'm sure you gain status by being an Olympian.
Mm.
You know,
it's for the good reasons.
Yeah, it's got to be the reason.
It's for good reasons, like having a good impact.
Mm.
Same reason with posting a lot of negative stuff on social media. Like, get out there and share some positive stuff. Like, try and make someone's day better. Try and do the right thing. It's different if you're speaking out about like a certain topic that needs to be addressed.
Right.
As a whole, like share positive stuff.
Yeah,
it's better.
Yeah,
life's better when you're happy.
Yeah,
and like everyone just wants to be happy. You know.
Especially right now, like COVID's really put a bit of a wet blanket, especially, I mean, everywhere in the world, but it's Australian. Yeah,
we've been pretty lucky here too.
Overall, we have, haven't we? Like people complain.
What happened in India?
Yeah.
We sent some stuff over to help, but like.
I was talking with a guy last night and he was like, he was in Thailand in November and he got COVID in Thailand and then his insurance put him up in a hotel and he's like, it was the best thing ever. I got food delivered to me and I was just like, yeah, that's definitely an Australian privilege. You know, there are people who get COVID and just die.
And can't get oxygen. Like, that's terrifying.
Mm.
And a lot of my friends have gotten COVID and some of them were fine. Some of them got really sick.
Mm.
And just knowing that if they had to go to hospital, they could and they would be treated and they'd probably be fine was like really reassuring. And I think although it has been super stressful, we are also quite fortunate to live in such a lucky country where we have the facilities to look after the people.
Well, pretty much all my friends have got it, including myself. And I don't think a single friend have I actually been worried about because exactly as you say, worst case scenario, they go to hospital and they get treated.
Yeah.
That's the worst case scenario. Probably.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario is like they die. But I mean, very, very unlikely.
Yeah. At least knowing that we've got the best chances.
Yes. Highest chances. But then you look at other, and that's something I'm big on, like how great we have in Australia. Yeah. I'm like.
And I think you don't realize a lot of that until you travel. Fortunately, like I've been lucky to travel the world a lot with diving and go and do what I love around the world. And I've been to some beautiful places and seen like many different countries from Ukraine to Norway to I've been to Germany 3 times, even Malaysia. And you just get to see all different cultures, how they do things. But we also value how good we have it here in Australia.
Mm.
And it's amazing. We're very lucky to be here. And I always feel grateful and proud to be an Australian.
Well, it's like almost anywhere you go, you're going to realize how good we have it. Yeah. Especially if you go to like some of the, you know, third world countries. Then you go, wow. Yeah. When I was 11, we went to Thailand and we visited some like super impoverished villages. And I think they really helped shape my perspective as a young person. You know, I didn't realize that until kind of recently. I was like, man, I've always had so much gratitude for Australia, even though it's been a bit of a, it's been chaos for the past 2 years with
politics. It's been chaos everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, Australia's just like, you know, with politics, they're not doing much for climate change. It feels like they, everything's going wrong. We're getting locked up and everything. And so even with all that, it's like, we've still got it so good.
We still do. Mm. And there's problems everywhere you go in the world. As a whole, we have it pretty good.
Yeah.
And I just love this country. The other thing is opportunity.
Oh, like, it's huge.
We, like, you look at myself, yourself, like, sometimes I sit there and I just think how lucky I am to be in a position, and every Australian is in the same position where, for example, my passion creating content, I can do.
Yeah.
And that can work. And I can become successful at that. Mm. And you know who's stopping? The only person stopping that is me.
Mm.
And that's for everyone else around here. Nothing's stopping you from going out, having a crack, being successful than you.
The crazy thing is, I know I'm going to post it on TikTok and I know everyone in the comments is going to come up with excuses. Like that's just what I'm so used to now. Like everyone's so full of excuses. I'll say,
back to the other clip of, I've heard my own excuses.
Yeah.
They're not good.
Yeah, they're not good.
I hear my own excuses and I'm like, come on, Sam.
Yeah.
You're not telling yourself that one.
But I know everyone's going to be like, oh, but Sam, I've got this problem. I've got this excuse. It's like, okay. Yeah. But like,
it's like a lot of people don't even know like things that I've had to do.
Oh, everyone's had problems.
I've been through people, everyone's got their own things.
Mm.
And I think a lot of people assume too, just because I'm such a happy guy and I'm so vibrant, is that I've had it easy.
Yeah.
So no, it's because I've done things quite hard to get where I am that I value where I am and I'm happy just as a person. Like I'm happy to hang around good people and that makes me happy.
Yeah.
Like having breakfast and just having the coffee. Yeah. I enjoy that.
I love it. Like it's the best.
Yeah. Our coffee's actually pretty good.
Everyone says that.
Yeah.
Everyone says around the world, Australia has like the best coffee.
Which I don't know why. I was surprised about that.
Mm.
I've heard American coffee's not great.
Yeah, I've heard it's terrible. I haven't been to America yet though.
Neither have I.
Yeah.
I wonder.
Planning on going this year, hopefully.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we want to go to Texas, which should be fun.
Texas barbecue?
It'll be.
Are you going to get some barbecue there?
For sure. 100%.
I love the Texas 100%. Barbecue. I watch it on YouTube.
How could you not? But yeah, we're planning on going there, but. Oh, yeah, I was going to say dream struggle prize. So like you're talking about the reason you're quite happy is because you've gone through enough struggle to appreciate where you are. It's like, yeah, that's what dream struggle prize is. In order to appreciate the prize, you have to go through the struggle. Just like when if you've got a caterpillar that's inside a cocoon, it's turning into a butterfly. If you opened the cocoon and let it out, it would just die because it hasn't built the strength to fly. The reason it builds the strength is to break out of the cocoon. Now it's got the strength it can use to fly away.
Yeah.
And so by getting rid of the struggle for a lot of people, which I think a lot of Australians don't have much struggle, they're too comfortable, they don't appreciate the prize. And that's why we see so many people just complaining about everything in Australia. Yeah. And it's like...
And the other thing is like when you've been through, like there's been so many times in diving in life where I've had a goal and I've been knocked back so hard.
Yeah.
So hard. And then you look up at it and you're like, that's impossible. And you're like, you know what? It's really hard to fight that urge to be like, you know what? No, I can do that.
Mm.
Then you get back to work. For example, I went to my first ever international competition, Dresden, Germany. I was like, okay, I'm just going to go in. I want to get a medal, whatever. I went in, I made the final, and I came like last in the final. And yeah. I was devastated. I was so upset. And I remember looking at the guys who won, and I just thought, I can't imagine what it would be like to be them.
Mm.
Like, that's got to be impossible. And I kind of caught myself, and I was like, no, like, if they can do it, like, I can do it. And it was a mental battle to be like, you know what? I'm going to get there. I went back to training for 2 years later. I learned one of the hardest dives in the world. I came back and I won that event by over 50 points.
Wow.
First Australian to ever win that event.
That's sick.
And I remember just thinking like, I believed what I've just done was impossible.
Mm.
And I did it. And when you've done it, then you're like, oh, wait a second.
What else can I do?
I could have probably done better.
Yeah.
But back there, you thought what you'd already achieved was impossible. Mm. I think it's when you get to the top of the mountain, you can then see like how many like opportunities you really can go for, and you're only limited by your mindset and the hard work that you put in. And the impossible, really, it's just a mindset.
Remember when I said whether you fail or succeed, you have growth? So you at least you took a shot at that original diving event. You came dead last. So you failed. But You grew a lot from it, right?
And it hurt.
Yeah.
It hurt.
Like physically?
Both.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Physically was like the physical pain's temporary. It's kind of like the emotional toll of like, yeah. Oh, I just want to do better.
And the ego of coming last.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That one's not the confidence builder.
Yeah, yeah.
But hey.
You grew from it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you can either, I mean, in that position where you've come dead last, you're at a low point in your life. You're going, I could either give up or I can take this as learning and come back stronger.
And that's where the mental struggle comes in.
Yeah.
And that's when you get that mental toughness to having it hard and keeping that dream alive and then pushing through anyway.
Mm.
And at the moment, I'm even feeling a bit of that now with all the injuries I've had.
Mm,
yeah. The Commonwealth Games trials are only a couple of months away. I haven't been able to dive properly for 6 months.
Wow.
And it's like, look, I'm finding myself in that now. Mm. And I'm going to just push through.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, that was powerful. That's a great, you should definitely share that story more often if you don't. from last to first, that's awesome. And in 2 years as well. But it just shows, you know, so much, I almost hate saying it because it's so personal development and cheesy, but it really is mindset. Like so much comes down to how you view different things.
Especially for example, sport. Like you go to the Olympic Games, like everyone's the best in the world.
Mm.
Like you're with the best in the world.
Yeah.
It's just about who can do it when it counts. And that's mindset.
And pressure. Who can deal with that sort of stuff. Like you're all amazing already. And it's going to be tiny, tiny increments of who wins. But like there's a story of two brothers. You may have heard it. It's like two brothers, they grew up with a very abusive father. And, you know, the father would come in, they'd start beating the mother. Once the boy's old enough, they'd stand in front of the mother and take the beating for her. And you know, 20 years later, as the boys have grown up, a journalist discovered these two brothers. One brother grew up and he started doing petty crime and eventually went to jail for about 15 years for committing a crime. The other brother grew up to be quite a successful man. He married his childhood sweetheart, has a nice family, he's on like a good paying job. You know, this is interesting. Two brothers, two completely different outcomes. So she went to the brother number one who was in prison and she asked him, hit the tape recorder and said, "Hey, why did you turn out the way you did?" And he slammed his fist on the table and said, "How could I turn out any differently with a father like that?" Okay. She goes to the second brother, sits down, goes into his home, hits record and says, "How come you turned out the way you did?" And he goes, "How could I turn out any differently with a father like that?" It all comes down to mindset. One brother used his father as an excuse to justify where he was. The other one used him as an excuse to get away from that and go, "No, I'm not going
to
be like that."
To avoid.
And it's like, same with your story. You could have either gone this way or this way.
Yeah.
And people go, "Oh, of course, you know," and they make excuses. A lot of people make excuses that end up going this way and then they blame others for why they're here. But really, you're in control of your life, especially if you're in Australia.
And sometimes even like that is hard to accept. Mm. Like, oh, like that was on me. I'm going to have to go work harder and do better.
Yeah. There's that book, John O'Willick, you know, the Navy SEAL. He wrote a book called Extreme Ownership.
Oh, I've listened to a Jocko.
Yeah, Jocko.
Jocko.
Yeah, he's written a few.
I love his podcasts.
Yeah, his book is Extreme Ownership, and he talks about how, like, when you're in the army and stuff, how you've got to take ownership for everything. Mm. Like, once my dad was in the army for a bit, and you've got to keep your cabins very clean. They've got to be perfectly folded and everything. And so when they came in one time, one of the cabin leaders or whatever hadn't folded it, so they all got punished and had to do like 50 push-ups or whatever. And then then the idea is you've got to take ownership. So how do we take ownership? Well, next time we check each other's beds for us. We create a system so that we're checking each other. So we're not just putting it all on ourselves.
Teamwork.
Yeah. Whereas even though it was completely justified to be like, it was his fault. I didn't do it. I did mine. I did my job. But how do you take ownership? Well, we create systems or whatever it is. Yep. So yeah.
Certainly.
Mindset.
The other one is like, I heard these two salesmen went somewhere where, mind slip. Next question.
I was going to wrap it up anyway. So we'll go to the final question. Look, I mean, you're 19 now, so it's an interesting question, but what advice would you give to an 18-year-old or just a young person in general? What would your number one piece of advice be?
Yeah. There's a couple of things. Number one, if you know where you want to go eventually, have that vision. And then just take daily steps towards that goal. You may not know even step two, but I feel like your intuition will guide you to at least step one.
Mm.
And then you just keep going towards that. And you know when you're on the right path. You know when you're making the right decisions. And I think it's about being honest with yourself about, you know, your values and what you really want to achieve and then having a crack at it. And the other thing is, like, some days you feel on top of the world and, like, you're really doing well. And others, you feel like you've achieved nothing.
Mm.
And it's all okay.
It's the roller coaster of life.
Yeah. And the other thing is everything will be fine. But I feel like having a goal and a vision will just keep you away from so much rubbish.
Mm.
It'll help you make the right decisions in steering you to probably a much better life.
Love it, man. Couldn't agree more. I'm very big on the small steps because that's a goal is just a habit compounded over time. It's just the habit. The habits, the small things, which we get to, we so often get caught up in the big goal.
Yeah.
And then go, oh, it's too big.
Even that, like when I've say done, achieved something big or done something big like that, like once you're there, it's just kind of like, oh yeah, well, I've done all this.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of doing this now at the moment. Like it's not like you're there, you're like, oh wow, I've made it. Like, no, it's kind of just like just chipping away.
Mm.
Like just taking the next step.
Yeah. That's it, man. Enjoy the journey.
Love it.
But Sam, thanks so much for coming on the show. If people want to follow you online, I'll put the links below. But where's the best place to go?
Probably it's my Instagram.
Yeah.
Sam.fricker.
There you go. It'll all be done. But thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, bro.